Oh, Michael, it is fantastic to see you. Thank you for being a guest on Leak Project. Every
Thank
time,
you.
yeah, man, it's an honor. So every time I talk to you now, see, the first time I interviewed you, I had no idea of the Eric Clapton connection. And
Yeah,
now
that's crazy, ain't
it's crazy.
it?
I mean, I'm just thinking about it like, wow, what are the odds? Your dad's a rock star. That's pretty cool.
Wow, this presentation gets intense and it's over 2.5 hours. So check us out over on Patreon, uncensored, ad-free. You can sign up for as little as a buck because it's the thought that counts. And we greatly appreciate your support. Just hitting the bell, liking the show, sharing the videos, subscribing to our YouTube channel helps tremendously. Keep being the change the world needs to see and check us out over on Patreon. You'll thank me later.
Yeah, I've been a musician my whole life, and I had no clue until I was on the History Channel and they flew me to Boston to have my blood work done and that whole story. But they said if they found out I was adopted, so they said if you can contact your birth parents, you probably should to see if this blood anomaly is something in your heritage, you know. And so for the first time in my life, I did track down my birth mother. This is late 2008, so it ain't that long ago. And I met her and I met my two sisters. And yeah, that's when I found out that Eric Clapton is my biological father. And to the point that Bill Burns, you know, he wrote The Day After Roswell with Philip Corso. By the way, I got some inside info on some things that were left out of that book, and this came from Bill Burns himself. But we can don't let me drop that ball. Let's reel me back into that. But anyhow, so in the book, because he's a New York Times best-selling author, he wrote The Day After Roswell with Philip Corso, which that's what we're just talking about. But he wrote a book called UFO Hunters Season One, the book. And he said, Michael, will it be okay if in this book I get into who we found out is your biological father? And I said, yeah, absolutely. It's what happened. You know what I mean? So it's been released to the public. I can't say anyone's really paying attention much, but it's real. To me, my mom and dad that raised me are my mom and dad, and I'm very close with my parents, you know. But man, I'd love to jam with Eric, you know. But dude, I've been playing guitar my whole life, and I remember in the past, anytime that I'm going to learn a song, you know, for a cover band or whatever, I'll sit and listen to it first, and I just turn on my ears, I call it. I don't even have a guitar on me, but I'm listening to Crossroads. I'm thinking, there's no way. No way I'm going to ever figure this out. It's just, there's no way. I said, I might as well try it anyhow. So I grabbed my guitar. Dude, really, the took me two times through it and I had it. So I felt an affinity with Eric as a musician for a very long time. And dude, I'm working on a brand new musical project with my musical compadre, Dan Reed. And we can get into that because it's some fascinating things that tie in with everything. So we're talking about A.R. Borden, and you asked me what I would like to talk about. Like I said, dude, there's a ton of stuff, but what's coming to light right now is the surfacing of the material of who A.R. Borden is and the team that he put together that I'm a member of. At the end of his life, which was in 2013, he said the time for secrecy is over. And he gave us permission because up until this point, he said, do not shine any light back our way. You know, we don't want any unwanted attention focused in our direction. So I never did because, you know, I'm one of those people. First of all, I am totally an open book. But if someone tells me this is in confidence, I like to keep it in confidence because, first of all, A.R. Borden was the only person on this planet that was giving me a course of study Which is weird, dude, because Bill Burns actually predicted all of this in the History Channel UFO episode. It's called Alien Contact, and it's in the first season. He said, "I believe that you and Terrell Copeland was the other contactee in the show, if you remember correctly." He said, "I believe that you're being contacted by a secret facet of the government, and they're giving you a course of study to prepare you for meeting your extraterrestrial higher self component." And at this dude, at this time, I didn't even know what the Anunnaki was. I hadn't met them yet. And so all of this sounded batshit crazy to me, you know? But what he predicted in the show came to pass, and that is A.R. Borden and the reverse engineering division. But what I want to tell you is publicly, some of the other team members have begun to become public. So first of all, I'd like to throw the invite out to you to have a few of these other team members. Because, dude, this is everyone's waiting for disclosure to happen from the Pentagon and from, you know, our military industrial complex. Well, guess what? They don't know anything. It's that simple. It's not going to come from them. A matter of fact, if you want to look into right now on this planet, if you want to know the most in-depth information from whole races of individuals that have had contact with star beings, is what Native American First Nations call them, Seneca. It all ties back into your audience can go and type in right now, University of Ottawa and Star Knowledge. You're going to come to this movement called the Star Knowledge Symposia. That's my work. And Star Knowledge, which is the knowledge of for thousands of years of contact with star beings. And what is star knowledge? It's the knowledge of light and sound and how light and sound creates our physical reality, which gets into the frequency component of what I've been given. And we can get into that as well. But A.R. Borden, everyone's waiting for this information to come. But first of all, if you want to look at the actual University of Ottawa Star Knowledge Symposia information from the college, scroll down to major funding for this movement, which is every equinox and every solstice, they're bringing Indigenous elders to the University of Ottawa, which is Canada's capital city. It's pretty big. And the show that we filmed for them called Star Beings was broadcast by the Canadian Public Corporation. But look down and who the major funder is for this movement, it's the United States government. Isn't that it? So if you want the truth of individuals that have had contact with star beings and what they've learned, and this is sanctioned by the United States government, you need to go to Canada and listen to what the Native American First Nations have to say. Fascinating, but it is what it is.
So I'm taking notes as you're saying this. So the University of Ottawa essentially
Yes.
has an entire segment on star people. And
Yes.
okay. So and then so would I go to University of Ottawa for that?
Yes. How I would find it on Google is type in University of Ottawa and then type in Star Knowledge. And then that will up the whole program. And it's really, see, this all started from Chief Golden Light Eagle, which, dude, I can prove to you and your audience, how big would it be for me to prove to you that Chief Golden Light Eagle is the one known as Enlil, Yahweh, in the
I mean,
Bible?
yeah, that would be pretty big. So how would you
Well,
do
look,
that? How would you do that?
I would do it through his own words and telling you my own, because as you know, we've talked, my unknown blood anomaly led to me actually meeting the Anunnaki, them telling me you were once known as Iyainkie, the water bearer, in your past, and we were once known in your past as the Anunnaki. That led to all of this information coming in which the Native American First Nation people have the Atlantean bloodline intertwined into them that became known as the Mound Builders. I'm sure you are familiar with what I'm talking about. The Mound Builders are not Native American First Nation. They're actually very ancient Hebrew. And now the actual DNA, because I'm haplogroup X2A, that's the determining factor. It's not typo or anything. For the Anunnaki hybrid bloodline, it's all about high creatine kinase in the bloodstream, because the more creatine kinase the bloodstream has, the more electrical capacitance the body is capable of holding at a cellular level. You could look at that as life force or prana or chi. And it doesn't mean that you might be of the bloodline, but just haven't learned how to use the force. You know what I mean? Because that's very strange, because I'm starting to understand it is the force. I'm talking about George Lucas and what he revealed in those films. And are you familiar with midichlorians?
No.
That's in the Star Wars films, and that's what gave a Jedi this extra ability to tap into the sixth sense and for telepathy and to levitate and to make mental projections outside of themselves. That was because they had an extra enzyme in the bloodstream called midichlorians. And that equates to creatine kinase in the real world. And the Anunnaki had to create this bloodline to facilitate us incarnating into the human genome to try to help, because we've been under an experiment that we can get into this, but it deals with all of humanity has been put under a intelligence acceleration software. It was actually broadcast from the moon. I know we're going the deep end here, but
That's
it
really
was
interesting you
implemented.
said that. That's now, look, I can't confirm this, but I have been thinking a lot about the moon lately and the connections. Like, is it sending a signal to Earth? Was it at one point in time sending a more powerful signal to Earth? Because actually, there was a study done on megaliths, and there's this line of megaliths that go around the world, and it's linked to the moon. And it's like a cycle that happens either twice a year or every 2 years, but all these megaliths around the world are connected to the or like the moon. And I'm thinking about,
Yeah,
and
man.
I was just envisioning this giant laser beam or this giant energy beam being shot from the moon to all these megaliths and turning them all on and activating everything. But please continue. That's
It
where
is,
my
and it's really
mind goes.
fascinating, this whole subject. You're right on the money, brother. And I can share some things, because we can get into my work with NASA now and Richard Hoagland and what he's revealed to me about the moon, which, dude, even just recently, he goes, that spacecraft Russia sent up will not reach the surface of the moon, because they do not know it's covered in a glass crystalline dome structures that cover for miles across those craters. But they're only about 100 feet off the surface, and they're absolutely, they NASA has found out that when you create glass in zero gravity, there's no oxygen, and it creates a stronger building material than metal. So it's actually like the preferred building material in zero gravity is glass. And so he said the only way to visualize this of the moon is that you're looking at an onion from the side, and all those petals are like different domes around the moon. And you really need to know where there's an entrance to even get to the surface, or you will crash. So he told me this all before Russia just sent and crashed. And but they said that long ago, man, how long do we got, by the way?
How long you want to go? You muted yourself.
Are you still there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Of
How long you want
course,
to
my
go?
phone.
We'll take it as long as you want to go, man. Like,
Oh, right on, right on. Because
so.
this is all such important things, and I'm really appreciative of you giving me a chance to share all of this.
Feelings mutual. Thanks for sharing it with us, man. This is awesome.
The intelligence acceleration software began 27,000 years ago because part of the Anunnaki family here. Oh, and you asked me how I know Chief Cold and Light Eagle is Enlil. That gets back into this because if, there's an actual DNA science and haplogroup X2A was only found in the late 1990s, not that long ago. And the only place haplogroup X2A exists on planet Earth is at least 3% of the Native American First Nations. Could be much higher, but a lot of us Native American Indians have not had our blood work done. So it could be much higher. But if you go back in time, where you find haplogroup X2A most frequently is in the tall skeletal remains that have been removed out of the mound builder sites, the giants, and these skeletons that have giant stature. People don't know this, but from the Serpent Mound, there was a skeleton that was removed from a mound there. And it was 9 feet, but the shin and the foot had been removed right below the knee, and it was still 9 foot. So you can imagine that individual was probably a 12, 13-foot individual. So this is an interesting talking point to me because there's no doubt scientifically that a few generations ago, haplogroup X2A, me, had giant stature. And now, within a few generations, we don't. So, some explanation is necessary there. I think it might be explaining some of the abduction phenomenon because truly the genetic work of the Anunnaki and Homo sapien has never ended. But so what had happened was, real quick, we can get back to Chief Golden Light Eagle being Enlil, but if the Native American Indian mound builders, because here's what happens is keep going back in time where you reach the largest concentration of haplogroup X2A, that's going to tell you where home base is, where this bloodline came from. And it happens to be the hills of Galilee. This is the lost tribe of Israel. This is the lost nation, the Sangreal Holy Grail bloodline. And that's what I'm here to reveal to this planet. And so thank you for again giving me the chance because this gets into my work in Canada and this all being revealed of the Anunnaki have been sharing star knowledge with humanity for a very long time. And the world can find out about this right now through the Star Knowledge Symposia, which, by the way, I named it. I'm kind of excited about that, He said, Michael, because I'm so excited about all this. I started working with the Mitchell Hedges Crystal Skull, and I want to get you hooked up with its current guardian as well. You're familiar, right?
Oh, yeah.
We brought it here to do ceremony, and I brought in all the elders. I brought in Chief Golden Light Eagle. I brought in the elder known as Ugly Girl, who is the human meat suit of Anu or Merlin or Metatron, whatever you want to call them. We all came together to release the hidden history of East Lake, Ohio, and the unknown earthwork that is here, which is a Hall of Records earthwork. Takes over a mile to walk around it, dude. And it's sitting here waiting for humanity. But we brought the skull in to do this unlocking of this hidden history. And while we were on top of the mound, the phone rings, and it's the head producer from Canada. And he's like, dude, I don't think you really understand how big what you're a part of is. And I'm like, I guess not really. And he said, every solstice and every equinox, we're going to be bringing Indigenous elders from all over the globe to the University of Ottawa to teach what they've learned from contact with star beings for thousands of years. And this is all going to be shared at these star knowledge conferences. Well, no, at this point, he said, what do you think we should name this movement? I was like, well, you met us at a star knowledge conference. So that's how it became the Star Knowledge Symposia, is not to pat myself on the back, but I'll take credit where it's due. But so the Atlantean, or the Poseidon, Edgar Cayce called the Atlanteans the Poseidians. Poseidon is Inky. It would be the Inkyites. Instead of calling them Atlanteans, you might as well call them the Inkyites. There was three Earth changes, one 51,000 years ago, 27,000 years ago. See, this is all intermingled, because if you remember, I said the intelligence and accelerator software began 27,000 years ago. That was because of that Earth change and what was decided to help mankind. We can get into that. But then 10,500 years ago was the last Earth change. And this time the Atlanteans, because after the last one, they went into the Mayan culture. I'm talking about the Atlanteans, and taught them the pyramid building and the calendar and culture. You were culture bringers, you know? But this intelligence accelerator software started 27,000 years ago. Nothing will be understood until this is understood, because the intelligence accelerator software is going to amplify any mental energy that's brought into it unbiasedly. If you bring out darkness, you're going to get back darkness, multifold and amplified. If you put out love, you're going to experience love and bliss easier than you can even put your pants on. I don't know what the right analogy is, but whatever you choose, you're going to get back. But here's the deal. That software that is making us experience our own mental energy in an accelerated fashion is being broadcast from the moon, and we're all under it. And it's actually attached to the moon phases, which the strongest, the intelligence accelerator software is making us experience our own garbage or our own good stuff, is on full moons. It's actually backwards from what you would think. Full moons, there's more crime. There's more murders. There's more bad behavior. It's because the dark still have to use the light to traverse, you know, and do their thing. It's through the light. So on a total light phase is the most the intelligence accelerator software is in effect. But this gets weird, though, because the Earth's ley lines also ebb and flow with this cosmic life force energy. It's not a constant current stream of energy. It ebbs and flows, and it's the strongest at equinoxes and solstices. So you got this intelligence accelerator software making us unbiasedly experience our own mental energy, because long ago, the Anunnaki seen with the Pleiadian side of the family, because I don't know, people might not know this, but there's two different sides to the Anunnaki family tree. There's the pure Sirian side, and that's my brother Enlil's side. And then Anu had a Pleiadian queen in the past. And so the first hybrid born to the Anunnaki was myself, being Pleiadian Sirian. So right there, a lot of people, man, they seem to misconstrue this part of the information. But so the moon is broadcasting because the Pleiadians long ago, using future sight technology, seeing that the end of this Kali Yuga, the end of this giant processional cycle, time cycle, was coming to an end. And it was sink or swim time. You know, it's like graduation day is here. And using their future sight, they seen that mankind was not going to evolve quickly enough to work through the collective shadow, the mass unconsciousness shadow work, because this is so like interesting. But the story goes that Homo sapien was, some people like to say that we were, DNA was stripped back. That's not the case. It depends on where you're coming from, first of all. But indigenous Homo sapien was at that point, it doesn't mean it's derogatory because all of life goes through these phases. And the Anunnaki was very succinct at saying, the acorn is no less significant than the giant oak it will one day become in creator's eyes. Don't get cocky because you find out you're in ninth grade. The seventh grader is going to be a ninth grader, and the ninth grader is going to become a 12th grader, and it's all good, you know? But in using future sight, 99 out of 100 times, mankind did not evolve spiritually as quickly as we were evolving technologically. And because we hadn't done the spiritual homework, and then we got technologically very advanced, we aimed our weapons at ourselves and we destroyed ourselves. So the Pleiadians was like, well, this idea of yours to create an ark, you know, to save all the DNA of all the animals on this planet during this earth change is fascinating, but why even save this precious upcoming consciousness of yours, Inky? You know, talking about humanity, of course. Why save them if there's not enough time for them to purge their collective shadow by the end of this time cycle, which was 2016, by the way, not 2012. But so they thought, well, why waste the energy, really? If they're going to self-implode anyhow, why put this effort into saving mankind? So they went back to the proverbial table and they thought, what if we made mankind experience its own mental energy in an accelerated fashion? Well, theoretically, it would make us purge the shadow and do the shadow work that's needed to clean our chakras and become rainbow. Because that's another thing that we need to get into is rainbow does not mean to the Native American First Nations what it means to the rest of the world. It means your chakras, from red in the root to purple in the crown, and all the other colors of the rainbow come through your own seven main chakras. And but they only emit light when they're clean and balanced, spinning freely. So, no extra manifestation ability is ever granted by spirit until you've deemed yourself rainbow to spirit. You will be vetted and you will be tested to see if you've done your homework, and many fail, you know. But so they decided, what if we did this experiment to make mankind experience its own mental energy? Theoretically, that should help them get to a better place in their spiritual evolution at the end of this time cycle. And so they thought, okay, sure. So some of the Inky side began incarnating into the human genome, and there wasn't enough chi or prana available at a cellular level, and we would just combust, spontaneously combust, you know, burst into flames. And no matter how much you want to help, coming here and bursting into flames, it's not real a fun experience. So we had to go back to the proverbial table again and say, well, because the Pleiadian said, Inky, this is a very interesting idea of making this consciousness experience its own mental energy in an accelerated fashion. It's never been tried before. That's something that's new in the universe in itself. Most things are not new in the multiverse. This was something new. And since we are all one, something that's new. And he said that when I met the Anunnaki, they said, we can't understand it because we're in it, but humankind is evolving at a rate that's never been seen before. I know it looks pretty scary when you look out your window right now, but even from the 1950s till now, of the amount mankind has healed the prejudice and looking out for other, like, even I know we got a long way to go, but he said that this kind of growth spiritually doesn't happen very often. And because it's happening, when I met the Anunnaki, he told me that they don't perceive time the same way we do. Matter of fact, Chief Golden White Eagle actually gave me an equation, and that is every Earth second equals 91.25 seconds to Anunnaki time, for whatever that's worth, just spitting out info. But that when the Anunnaki came to incarnate, instead of bursting into flames, they thought, what if we created a human offshoot that had more chi prana available? See, the creatine kinase component comes into play then, because they're creating a human genome that had more chi or life force or prana or Holy Spirit, or Tesla called it cosmic energy, which I found this out by, as NASA's got involved in my work. Well, Hoagland just contacted the head biophysicist that did the work, and she said, I'm not able to join you and Michael, but I do remember, looking into his work. She said she was working on a new project on 5G. And so she was busy, it's just simple as it is. But she said, I do remember looking into Michael's discs, and apparently Michael has created a cosmic energy collector or a QI collector. I'm like, what the hell is a cosmic energy collector? I never heard those terms, So I went down that rabbit hole, and here it's Nikola Tesla's own words for his 369 life force, cosmic energy. I'm finishing off Nikola Tesla's work here, people. To me, that sounds ridiculous, because to me, I'm Joe Walsh and I'm a guitar player. To me, I'm like the extraterrestrial Forrest Gump of all of this. Just the weirdest shit happens. But so
You got
they
better hair
decide,
though, man. You got
well,
way better hair than Forrest Gump.
well,
It must be the
hey man,
alien
I'll
part of
take
you.
it. I'll take it where I can get it. But so that was the creation of the Nephilim bloodline, so the Anunnaki could come and steer this experiment, because obviously, if you're going to do an experiment to make mankind experience its own mental energy, wouldn't you want a council to see how your experiment is going? Wouldn't you want a council of light and a council of dark? To the Native American Indians, they call them the seven war chiefs and the seven peace chiefs. But there was one chief that was sat in between these two galactic councils of war and peace chiefs long ago, long before the Bible. And guess what that chief's name was? Chief
And
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Chief
Oh,
Yahweh.
okay.
Yes, for real. So the Cherokee and the Iroquois knew of Chief Yahweh long before the Bible. So when I'm invited to an ancient ceremony called a Sundance by Chief Golden White Eagle, the veil dropped there because I refused to participate in a, well, I'm just going to say it. There was flesh and blood sacrifice ceremony happening at this ancient ceremony. And a lot of natives, they partake. Do stupid shit to yourself all you want, but keep innocence out of it, even eating family pets. I'll just leave it at that. But I refused to participate. And he said, Michael, spirit is so glad that you did not enter their territory. Spirit looks at anyone who participates in these flesh and blood sacrifice ceremonies as prostitutes, as spiritual prostitutes. And then the veil dropped, and he said, "Michael, I work with the seven lords of light and the seven lords of darkness. I'm the only one who sits directly in the middle of these two councils of, seven lords of light, seven lords of darkness." He said, "I'm the only one who sits directly in the middle of these two councils, and I'm the only one who holds a seat on both sides." This is important because if there's two sides of seven, but he holds a seat on each side, that leaves a council of 12 with one in the middle being Yahweh. It's actually the true meaning of the candles, the seven and the one. Anyhow, I for the menorah, right? Is that what am
The
I saying that
menorah,
right?
yes.
Yeah. He had already told me that he works with the seven lords of light and the seven lords of darkness. He's the only one who sits in the middle of these two councils. And he explained the whole thing to me. If you want, I can explain what I learned. Because he said, "Michael, this is all about the dark, self-inflicted suffering through your own free will. They have no dominion over you whatsoever unless you agree and open up the back door and invite them in. But the light is going to see if that's self-inflicted suffering brought about by your own free will. The light is going to see what kind of love and compassion to any free will suffering that comes your way. It's the total flip side of the dark." And so he said, "What they're truly looking for, do you know that the Enlil nation is known as the Eagle Nation by any chance?"
Yeah. Well, I know that the Enlil is representative of the eagle and Enki is representation of the serpent oftentimes.
Yes, yeah, but serpent isn't he actually? A lot of them think it's sperm, it's life force, sperm and egg,
Makes
serpent
sense.
mound and egg. Yeah,
Makes perfect
but
sense. There it is. I'm gonna get there before you, Jimmy.
yeah,
Oh
man.
man, can you never
Now
mind.
we know where South Park got all their
Pattern interrupt.
brimstone from.
Yeah, right. Well, this snake represents life, the sperm. It also represents
Well, dude,
knowledge, represents
here's going to blow
plasma.
your mind with all of this, dude, is the Eagle Nation on the back of our dollar bill is seen holding, what are they vetting mankind? One claw has the olive branches, the other has the arrow. The spiritual message is if you choose the arrow, you're going to get your ass handed to you. It never works out the way you think. When you exert force or power over someone else or your environment or anything, it backfires horribly. And right there is the Eagle Nation showing you what they're going to be looking at when you experience trial and tribulation in your life. Do you choose the arrow or you do choose the olive branch? But if someone of the Serpent Clan, which is my clan, and by the way, I found out from the Serpent Clan grandmother, Carrie Rivera, that does all the events at the Serpent Mound. She held me on stage afterwards and she said, "We want to announce that Michael is an officially recognized member of the Serpent Clan." And I am, First of all, I didn't know what the Serpent Clan even was, I'm like, well, okay. She did a song and sang to my chakras and whatnot. So about 5 months later, I was with Chief Colin Light Eagle. And I said, "Chief, what the hell is the Serpent Clan?" And he said, "It's those of us with galactic heritage that every tribe has a serpent clan that comprises their medicine men and medicine women and shamans that bring medicine of all sorts back to the tribe." So that makes sense to me because Chief being Enlil, I found out about Chief Yahweh being known as this chief who sat between these two councils of war and peace chiefs. But Chief Golden Light Eagle had just told me he was working with the seven lords of light and the seven lords of darkness. It was the exact same analogy. He just told me exactly who he is. So the next time we were together in a vehicle, just me and him, and I said, "Dude, this is really awkward, but spirit has led me to understand that you are Yahweh, Enlil, my brother." And he said, "Yes, I've done some pretty messed up things." It's his first words to me. I was like, Haven't we all? I didn't really know what to say to that. And I still, to this day, he's gone now. And I never asked him. I think I got a pretty good idea because he said, and but I want you to know, Michael, that this isn't the first time you and I have met. We've met in many other incarnations, and the last time was not pleasant. But I understand now you were only showing me my own darkness. So what I can tell you is Yahweh himself, through his own words, has said he's begun to realize what he looked at as reality was his own darkness. Interesting in itself. But him being Yahweh and being this person that sits in between these two councils of war and peace chiefs. If you go to YouTube and type in Chief Golden Light Eagle and Ancient Aliens and find a behind the scenes clip of them interviewing Chief, and they're asking him, what does it mean to be a chief? And he said, well, every one of these feathers has a story and a prayer attached to it, which makes this a prayer device, you know? But he said, people don't really know that there's two different kinds of chiefs. There's war chiefs and there's peace chiefs. Said this bonnet is the only one that's both. He was telling them he's Yahweh. They just don't have the information to be able to deconstruct what he's telling them, you know? But so getting back to the intelligence accelerator software, that version 1.0, we're all under it. It doesn't matter who you are. It ebbs and flows with intensity, with the strongest being during full moons. And when it's a total black moon phase, is when we're at the stillest and our mental energy is being amplified the slightest, if you want to think of it that way. But when I was brought into the NSA Reverse Engineering Division, A.R. Borden had a more advanced version of this intelligence accelerator software. Mind you, we're all under 1.0. A.R. Borden had 2.0 used on him. And he wanted to use version 2.0. That's why he became the only person that the Anunnaki could even communicate these scientifically about light and sound, because he was like a Nikola Tesla, quantum physicist, you know, spiritual mysticist, you know, and he's the only one that could understand what. But dude, it's really starting to freak me out is I am technology transfer program information. I was brought into the fold as a contact practitioner. I brought forth the secrets of cosmic harmonious frequency through the Anunnaki to the NSA, and they know it now. Now NASA knows it, and now Elon Musk knows it, which we'll get into that. He's taken it to the moon in November. So, man, there's a lot of bigger hands arranging chess pieces on the board of life. But version 2.0 intelligence accelerator software, it made one of the team members go insane because, first of all, let's get into what it is, right? Because we're all under it. It says your brain is taking in about 27 frames per second for all of your sensory data, whether it's your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your hearing, your touch is coming in at about 27 frames per second. And you can prove this to yourself by getting a strobe light. And it's strobing, you're increasing the speed, it's getting faster and faster. All of a sudden, it turns into a solid white light. Guess what? It's not a solid white light. It's still strobing. You just can't perceive it because it's outside of your perceptual range of perception. So, but your whole reality then, input that creates your waking state consciousness is being built from an input of about 27 frames per second from five data streams. Your unconsciousness is recording millions of bits of information. That's why hypnosis works, and you can go in, you know, remote viewing, you know. So, what if technology was used in version 2.0 of the intelligence accelerator software? The governor is removed between the waking state consciousness and the millions of bits of information. It doesn't all hit you because you die from that amount of data input, but it's need to know. And when you need it, now instead of you gaining your source input from 27 frames of sec a second coming from just your pool of information, now you can access the whole unconsciousness library of Akashic records, if you want to look at it that way. But there's a problem, because all the stuff where we were wounded as a child, maybe an adult was mean to us or didn't treat us nicely, and we had a wounded child event where it created shadow work, and that wounded child gets buried deep in the unconsciousness. And a lot of those hurts that we gain during childhood, we don't even remember them, but the experience haunts us through our adulthood, and we will recirculate those feelings in our waking state. Shit, I don't want to say I
Froze up on us. He froze up on us. He said, what did you say? Say that again. He said, shit, I don't want to say freeze.
Yeah, my brain's like, you said too much, Michael. By the way, oh man, see, I almost did it again. I'm good at saying too much. I just found out I've made contact with the group of reverse engineering, and first of all, I found out this was interesting. The head of these projects was not A.R. Borden. It was someone that came from a very high-ranking. You know who he's best friends with is John Alexander. Isn't that interesting? But he comes from the military industrial complex as a medical high ranking doctor. And so, with this experiment to use version 2.0 on us, he threw up red flags. He said, don't do it. The brain looks at this as a virus. And the amount of shadow work it forces someone to do, it might take you 10 lifetimes without it, but 10 times, 10 lifetimes worth of and trial and tribulation will be forced down your throat in about a 2 or 3 year span. So to this side of the mirror, it just looks like your life has become a shit show and you're having to deal with embedded memories from long ago. But what we're saying is all that shadow work that is buried deep down in the unconsciousness, once intelligence accelerator software is used, then that governor, I'm talking about 2.0 specifically, now there's no governor. And all that suppressed child, wounded child shadow work surfaces. So, in this instance, one of the team members all of a sudden started to see enemies where there were no enemies. She started to think people were talking about her behind her back. They weren't. And, it'll make everyone is going to have a custom tailored experience. And I was told, interestingly enough, because I'm in now contact with the head person who was over A.R. Borden in this. I don't, between you and I, he's a really nice guy, but I don't think he has the spiritual understanding that A.R. Borden had, which is okay. We all have a different walk through life. But it, if you have not done your spiritual homework, and if you've not started to weed the fear and doubt out of your own belief system, all of a sudden, if you have this technology used on you, it's too much for a lot of people. I was given a good analogy. They said if you want to take a big block of ice and take a chainsaw and make a sculpture, a beautiful swan out of it. Well, if it's really hardly frozen and not begun to melt yet, if you take a chainsaw to it, it just shatters. But if it begins to melt, then you can mold it and form it with a chainsaw and it won't shatter and break. In the same way that if version 2.0 was ever used on a human that hadn't begun their spiritual homework, they'll probably, like I said, even with the seven chakras, no extra manifestation ability is ever given until you've proven to spirit that you are a clean vessel. And let's just say six of your chakras are all clean and balanced and they're all shiny, but your seventh, the root chakra is still dark. So you're experiencing all these trial and tribulation and abundance issues in your life. All of a sudden, if spirit said, okay, here's all your extra manifestation ability, you probably would just go to what you have a fear stamp on and manifest the hell out of exactly what you don't want. And so Chief Blue Star Eagle told me, Michael, spirit is smarter than that. Only until you've been deemed rainbow, which is why my name is Rainbow Warrior Eagle. Oh, Eagle is because I've been given my spiritual name, Rainbow Warrior, by the Eagle Nation. And so if the Eagle Nation has granted you your spiritual name that spirit knows you by, and you are a member of the Serpent Clan, you've said to be now you have become the feathered serpent. It's a whole new understanding. It's not one individual, it's a consciousness. So is Eagle. Eagle consciousness to Native American First Nations is like Christ consciousness. It's the eagle is the only bird that flies above the storm. It doesn't seek shelter under it. It gets the bird's eye, so to speak. So to them, eagle status is one who has reached the level that only happens when you've become rainbow. And I love this analogy because I think we can all become rainbow. And it does, everyone has a different walk. Someone might need throat chakra work. They're having problems speaking their truth. Well, then that's a different walk of a path that they have to follow to clear up their chakra centers. For me, maybe it's root chakra stuff, So it doesn't matter what race you are, what color you are, whether you're male, female, everyone can become rainbow. And there isn't one way that's better than any other way. But I find out that Tibetan monks have this exact same understanding. They call it obtaining the rainbow body. The Norse and the Rainbow Bridge, crossing over the Rainbow Bridge is breaking the seven seals. It's the seven chakras. So this is a spirituality, but it's really not. It's not religion, that we've not been handed down in the Western culture. And it's kind of what I'm here to do as well, of if you experience something in your life, a trial and tribulation, we've not been told, well, that's illuminating your root chakra. If you're having problems with your job or whatever, root chakra. Then to have people given, have you ever heard of heart math?
No.
Heart math was an offshoot of A.R. Borden's group. They found out the heart has a much larger electromagnetic field than the brain. So they wanted to start looking into scientifically what effect the heart has on its environment. That was the creation of heart math. So imagine in the future, you have a biofeedback mechanism, which is as simple as putting a strap on your thumb that's getting your heart rate or, blood pressure or whatever. Now I'm working on an actual video you can click what chakra you want to a musical composition that's tuned properly to that and all the artwork is a crop circle that is tuned specifically to that chakra that you can fly into and take an 11-minute, 11-second voyage, a deep dive into that frequency. But if you got the time, you can do a whole frequency sweep of every chakra. But if every one of those stops along the way, you are attached to biofeedback mechanisms and being given visualization and meditation techniques, and you can see your breath rate dropping. You can see your heart rate dropping. You can have instant feedback to what you're doing. How is it doing? You know, that's what I want to bring to mankind. And you know, I was actually asked by the NSA, because they know I'm inky, by the way. They said, "What do you plan on doing, you know, here with the rest of the time?" Because, dude, spirit and everything, they're like Elon Musk taking this technology. First of all, I found out in the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, living water says it's an analogy for life force or prana or chi or Holy Spirit. Living water is life force. Being the water bearer is not, it's so much bigger than me carrying around a pitcher of water. This technology that revitalizes dead municipal tap water back into spring water energetics. Wait till the world sees what happens when you use this water to do agriculture. The yield is much larger, quicker. They're impervious to drought, and the actual nutritional value of every bite you take of, say, a potato, over twice the nutritional value per bite when you use water that has this. NASA said they've never seen this type of energy in water ever before in any water study that NASA's ever did. They've never seen this, and I can tell you exactly what they said was there's a lot of ways to restructure water. And you can spin it, you can vortex it, you can put it through high magnetic fields, but you can actually have like a Tibetan monk just go and give it a blessing, right? In every one of those instances, yes, energy is returned back into the water droplet, but the periphery of the light pattern gets larger and more diffuse as well. It said for the first time ever with my 432 disc, you know, technology. This is what I sent NASA, by the way. You know, we can get into exactly what this is, but this brings through. Opens a portal through the fabric of our space-time to bring through higher dimensional energy into the Earth plane that Tesla called 369. And what I want to share with you is, first of all you got to do is hold it, man. That's it. And I got scientific proof of this. It's brand new, and people have no clue of this yet. But I shared with you the before and after photo of the life force within the water droplet, right? That was important just to know, because guess what? We're water. Everything's water. But what happened was I was at a conference, and a friend of mine has the technology to measure the body's Meissner field. You would call that, most people will call it the subtle energy field or the aura field. And he said, "Michael, let's see what your disc is doing to your subtle energy fields." Because, like we said, they now know the heart has a much larger electromagnetic field than the brain. But guess what? Every organ.
Is this what happened?
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's the before and after. Yeah.
What were they
And
using to
so
take that photo with?
it's called electro gravitic photography. Have you ever heard of Kirin? Korean? No.
Kirlian photography, 100%. Yeah.
Yes, this is what it is, but it's a specific offshoot of that, that they can look at the energetic life force within water, because looking at the energy within a droplet of water is very important to NASA for the water that's being brought to astronauts. But yeah, that's AR said you'll invent something one day that a picture is worth a million words. It's not debatable. That is LERM. That is a something from nothing miracle. Because I asked the biophysicist, I said, well, wait a minute. If there's that little tiny pinprick of light up there, but now after it's sat on this disk for, 15 minutes, it's become the bottom image. That's a lot more energy. I asked her, where is that extra energy coming from? Is it coming from our sun? Is it coming from our solar system, our planets' electromagnetic fields, the planets' tectonic plates? Where's this energy coming from? And she said, it's not coming from our dimension. It's coming from another dimension. So right there was weird because I've never had to ask myself, what's it mean to be drinking water that has energy from another dimension in it? But I could tell you, it unbelievable things happen to the body is what happens. But so my friend said, let's take this over to my equipment that will measure every organ in your body and every electromagnetic field. And he said, but you can't walk over with this. That would negate the science, you know? So he said, let me take this over and take off your pendant too. By the way, I should just give the world a plug. These I've made sure are available to the world. And you can go to michaelleehill.net. And this is the 432 red version of the crystal glass. It's got a copper wrap. And this is what's doing the magic. And this is also the pendant. I was taught how to do an ancient water blessing ceremony that quantum entangled and holographically entangled this cosmic energy. Because guess what? The container that can contain life force, guess what the vessel is that contains the most prana or chi or life force out of any container it can be put in? Water. Is that interesting? So what he did is told me I was to go to the underground spring aquifers in Florida. There's thousands of them. People, it's kind of a hidden little secret, but they're like fountain of youth, every one of them. The water comes up from hundreds of feet below the surface. They've never been inundated with human thought form. This water hasn't. And if anybody knows about Dr. Emoto, water is paying attention to human thought form. So it's very important to have. This is a weird thing, though, Rex. If Dr. Emoto showed that once water was shown negative, lower vibrational thought forms, it looked like mud, right? They didn't have any geometry. But if you say, I love you, no worries or whatever, then it looks like snowflake, sacred geometry. Well, if municipal tap water is a closed loop system, it's been absorbing all the negative mental energy of every human it's ever come across. While it's in the house, it's being bombarded by music that's tuned to 440 that puts the body into fight or flight. It's like the water we're drinking is not, but it goes down the sink, it goes back to the water treatment center, it gets recirculated, it comes back in, and we drink it again. We keep ingesting all that negative mental energy. But by taking that exact same water that now you've seen there's no life left in it, and you just take your disc and you put the glass on it. I thought I had a glass back there, and let it sit on this, it does that to the energy of the water. Whoops. That's a miracle, So I'm thinking, first of all, well, what is this communicating that water is listening? First of all, now Richard Hoagland said that's not what's happening. This higher dimensional energy, just it's higher dimensional energy. It has more cohesion. It has more geometry. It has more coherence. So when this energy comes down into our realm, things that are out of whack, it brings them back into whack. It's just bringing water back into its energetic divine blueprint. But getting back to my friend that had this technology, he put my hand on this, had all these little diodes that ran up and down my fingers and in my palm. And then he hit print and it shot out a picture. I got him back there, but it was like the Da Vinci Code guy, you know what I mean? With his arms and two different, and a picture of the human body. And anywhere that it's seen a discrepancy in my subtle energy field, which that's where disease comes from or whatever, it shows up as a black cloud in the photo. So you can see there's like seven black clouds forming around my body, around my waist and my head area. He said, "Okay, now hold out your hand." I went like this, and he went, I went, that's as long as I had it in my hand. He hit image, shut out, that's the wrong word. It spat out another image, and it healed everything in my body, every energy center, instantly. Because what you need to know is the biophysicist from NASA said what they also found was, apparently I've created a Nikola Tesla cosmic energy collector. NASA's freaked out because this is the first time they've ever seen one invented that doesn't have moving parts. Tesla was using Tesla coils and Tesla towers. This is the first time they've ever seen a cosmic energy collector that's been, but I now have the scientific proof, dude. You don't need to be in the new age. You don't need to do anything. This thing is like getting your own chi master from the Orient that can bring enough chi and prana through that can facilitate healing within your own body. This thing is a life force. See, Richard Hoagland said Tesla calling it a cosmic energy collector isn't accurate. It's actually a transceiver. And a transmitter and a receiver simultaneously. They call that a transceiver. So she said the longer something is in the field of this, the more the energy grows exponentially. Well, that's a whole new ball game, right? But think about what I'm telling you is Elon Musk is using brand new technology using quantum computing and holographic computing to encode a massive library museum into quartz crystal that is the largest museum slash library ever created. It contains every book ever written by mankind in every language. It contains every schematic to every iPhone ever made, every piece that goes into those. It's all there. The quartz crystal. I know all this because the guy that invented this for Elon Musk created another version of it that, remember, did you hear Elon Musk has one of his cars in orbit?
So check this out. I am super stoked about this. We are pivoting and we're going to offer you exclusive content, ad-free, uncensored on Patreon. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I've wanted to talk about for the past few years that I haven't been able to really talk about. And now I'm going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it on Patreon. You can watch it on Patreon and you can sign up for as little as a buck. So check us out. Ad-free. You're going to love it. Be the change you want to see. And see you at Patreon.